So maybe that worked.
Hopefully. I mean, geez, with how much issues we've been dealing with so far. So anyway, folks, hey, welcome to the Good Game, guys, in case you weren't capable of hearing us earlier. Unfortunately, we were kind of dealing with a bit of a, well, minor, well, I don't know if I could really say minor, but definitely technical difficulties, that's for certain.
Yeah, well, that was a basic snafu, I guess.
Yeah. I suppose what wound up happening is that Skype had an update earlier today, and I'm not necessarily sure if it's Blog Talk that hasn't updated their services with Skype yet, but apparently we've just been receiving ourselves some bit of an issue so far, but trying to... apparently, if we understand things correctly, y'all weren't able to hear us as we were talking for about...
10 minutes or so?
10 minutes, yeah, mm-hmm. Give or take. So... we'll at least try and take the show off from the topic. And hey, look at this. More issues that decide to creep up on us. I guess I'll go ahead and take this. Doug, why don't you go ahead and try and take over for a moment?
Oh, geez. What am I going to say? So, hello, people. Let me check. Is anyone hearing us currently? If you know me and you got my text stuff, then send me a text. Let me know. Otherwise, I guess I'll just talk to myself for a couple of minutes. Yeah, not really one of those solo radio people. I tend to require others to be around. It looks like Seawall is able to hear, so that's good. Okay, cool. So let me answer that. Seawall, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Excellent.
Thank God I'm on Plan C right now. Which involves laptop.
All right. Well, it worked, right?
Seriously. Hey.
Yes.
Hey,
I decided to update when I restarted.
Oh, nice.
So I think I have our new load of ass segment right now. Hey, let's talk about Skype.
Let's just skip everything and start pooping on Skype.
Seriously.
Give me 5 seconds. I forgot to close the door. I'll be right back. I swear.
Oh, how could you?
Oh, man, like that was a bit of a stressful issue right there, folks.
Right. Oh, wow, it looks like there's a few people calling in out of nowhere.
Well, I definitely recognize that one number right there at the very bottom. That definitely is the number of TKO, so hey, it looks like we'll actually be able to get him on, because we were
great.
A little worried we wouldn't have him.
Well, let's just go ahead and click on that right now.
Sure thing. Hey, TKO, are you there right now?
What up? Yeah, this is TKO coming from some ritzy fashion event up in Beverly Hills.
Oh, so that's why you decided to skip us today, huh?
Oh, exactly.
No remorse.
Yeah, that was a Nubian queen right there screaming in the background like she's crazy. He's away, angel.
Hello, TK.
So, what's going on over there, TKO? Like, you're at some kind of
a... I'm sitting over here with my boy, Nosh, and he's over there, Angel. Can y'all hear Nosh? Is he coming in?
I don't know yet. Why don't we go ahead and see right now if he can come in?
Y'all better pick up that other line. Run! Don't make me come down here.
Hang on. Hello, Nosh. Is that you?
Hey, how's it going? Hello?
Hey, Nosh. What's up?
We got ourselves the Blue Power Rangers Samurai Force, or is it just Blue Power Rangers Samurai?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Tell me.
How's it going?
Hey, welcome to the Good Game, guys. Now, so what brings you here today, man? Like, what's going on? How are things
nothing
going?
Much. Nothing much. I'm at a fashion show right now. It's great. There's a lot of models here. Potential, a lot of fun. I'm here with Easy and everybody. It's great. I'm having a great time. How's it going over there?
do you really want to know? I guess if we delve on this for a moment for the sake of our viewers wondering, hey, why didn't the show start at 10 o'clock as normal?
Well, it sort of did, but no one can hear
it. We had to push it back because Evil attacked the fashion show and Nosh had to hold it off, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
SmackDown, I mean, it was evil aliens and robots and all kinds of stuff, you know what I'm saying? We had to push it back for 30 minutes.
Yeah, seriously, I think, Nosh, you need to summon the Megazord right now because we're getting attacked by the forces of Rita at this moment.
That is so funny.
God.
I just, that's funny. The Megazord's around here somewhere.
I don't know. You still owe me a test drive, bro. Like, for real. You owe me a test drive. I'm waiting for you to ride the Dragon.
Oh, no. TK, I was going to test drive the Megazord. I'm afraid right now.
Oh, okay.
Would you prefer I bring in one of my running teams from Shadowrun to try and help us out?
Okay, we own a good team, guys. We got the Hollow out of the way. So, Dodge, what I want you to tell the audience is, what game did you play when you were growing up? What are the back of the day games for you, bro?
You know, that's a good question. I definitely grew up on Dragon Ball Z, so Dragon Ball Z was a really good game that I played when I was growing up. Twisted Metal was a really good game. Warhawk, I played that, you know, recently. Starhawk, Killzone, Mortal Kombat is a game that me and my castmates play, you know, during the shooting of Power Rangers. That was pretty fun. It would be 2v2. Of course, I'd be Sub-Zero. Sub-Z won't be.
Nice.
So, yeah, you know. I
Thank
play
you.
A few
Someone else
here
who
there.
Likes Sub-Zero.
Seriously.
I know. I rock Sub-Zero. My question is, who
I know
is
too many Scorpion and Hobbits, dude.
Yeah, I just like to have a Scorpion a little bit, too, though. A little bit. So, in the studio, who's the top ranger in Mortal Kombat?
Blue. All day, man. Don't forget. Do not forget, it is blue.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, man, I remember also telling me that you dabbled in a little bit of the StarCraft back in the day.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, who are you tearing? The Proton, what's up? Where are your allegiances, my brother? Where are your allegiances?
Terran, Protoss, or Zerg? Which one? Yeah.
I said, what was your allegiance? Was Terran, Protoss, or Zerg?
Sounds like we got ourselves a bit of a deep question right there. Protoss
is really good. I liked how they have the energy and the blue, and they were an advanced race.
Why would I even bother asking? I said, no, you're going to be the blue Protoss, huh?
That's funny.
The blue Protoss.
I went Zerg, though, because they're...
Oh, cool. Looks like I found a Protoss brother.
Oh, hey, see you all. You got a shoot brother right there, man.
He hurts my soul with the Protoss, Tall Petoss.
Come on, with the right setup, Protoss can dig in and you can't get him out.
Exactly.
You know what? Siege tanks, okay? Siege tanks. I got siege tanks for you. I got some siege tanks for Nodge and his sword. Okay, siege tanks for the win.
That is so funny.
Can those siege tanks do something against the Mothership Core, though? I'm actually curious now. I don't play StarCraft enough, if it's obvious.
Hey, you got to keep it old school. He played the old school StarCraft.
Right.
Yeah.
So sure,
okay,
I got to keep
so
it old
school.
You're achieving
it
old
school. And the Arbiters.
StarCraft 2 eventually.
And the Carriers of Doom. So you one of those people that made me almost break my mouse.
A little bit.
Oh, my God. Oh. I got one more question for you, Mr. Nodge.
Cool.
So what games are you looking forward to playing in the future?
Batman is definitely a cool series that's going to be coming out. I love Killzone, the new one on the PS4. Infamous is going to be a good one. And
Infamous?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm behind.
Devil May Cry is good, too.
Oh, that's the new one. Please tell me that's the new one.
I think so. I like the one with the dude with the blue in the blue. Virgil.
Virgil.
Yeah. He was good. But yeah, man, that's all I got. You know, the rest I'll call in another time and let you know how it goes, and you know, let you know my if anything changes. Gotta run back inside now.
Oh yeah, sure.
Oh
thing,
sure,
man.
Yeah. Thanks for making an appearance, man.
Yeah, totally.
Of course.
Mind if I shoot in a quick question?
Oh,
go ahead.
Nodge, I was a little curious. On screen, I noticed all the characters, you know, having fun and stuff like that. What was it behind the cameras? What was it like on set?
Of shooting which film?
Oh, when you were doing the Power Rangers stuff.
How was it like behind set, you said? Behind cameras?
Yeah.
It was... You know, just like any other set, stressful. It was a great environment that I liked. It was definitely upbeat. Everything was fun, you know, about it. But, you know, filming is kind of stressful when you're on location. You know, and you have to get those shots done in time. and it's not just you're not the only lead in the show to where everything has to be timed perfectly. So long story short, it was fun but stressful at times too.
Yeah. I definitely get to see that.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Cool.
So I'm actually
awesome.
Kind of curious, Naj. If I may ask a question myself. So
okay.
I understand.
I gotta go right after this one.
All right. So I understand there's a Power Ranger Megaforce going on right now, where basically it's like a huge collection of the previous Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
They all kind of get together, and I guess they fight evil or something like that. Are you actually going to be a part of that?
They actually called me to be a part of that. There's a section of that movie or that episode that I was going to be a part of, but I was actually filming a movie called Pipeline Dream. And I couldn't go out there and film Power Rangers because it was in New Zealand. So, long story short, I'm not going to be a part of it, but I was going to, I just was shooting another movie at the time. So.
Oh, bummer, man.
Speaking of movies, you got anything you're working on right now that you want to plug?
You can go to behindlockeddoorsmovie.com. That's where you can see the new movie that I'm going to be in. It's called Behind Locked Doors. Vivica Fox is going to be in it. Cuba Gooding Jr. and some other, good actors. But if you go to behindlockeddoorsmovie.com, that's the movie that I'm going to be working on, in the near future, upon other things, too.
Right on. Well, we'll let you get back to your show there. So thanks
Perfect.
For tagging along.
Hey, thanks for definitely
Thank
taking
so
the
much.
Time to call in.
Thank you so
brother.
Much.
We got some
thanks
models
for asking questions, too, man.
Don't we?
All right. And TKO,
okay, cool. Gotta go
I don't know what to say to you right now, fool. But you know what? Hey, you have fun at your event right now, and we'll hit you up again next week. Yeah, sound pretty good, folks?
Perfect. Back there this week.
I'll see you soon.
Don't worry, Dr. Captain. I have plans. I have plans.
Okay,
we will get our vengeance.
All right. We'll see you later, Naj, and see you next week, TKO.
Well, okay. So that was... Rushed a little, I think.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of had to make up a little bit on some lost time. That's definite.
Yeah, that's, unfortunately,
next time if we get a chance to talk with Naj again, we'll try and work in some kind of a caller situation. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure some callers would like to talk with him.
Oh, totally. But we got some good information. No, he's not going to be in Megaforce, and yes, he is in something upcoming.
Yeah.
BehindLockeddoorsMovie.com is going to have the information with,
So be sure to check
that movie.
Yeah,
so.
Be sure to check that one out there, folks, if you're interested.
So, Seawall.
Yes.
How is your day going, buddy?
Hopefully,
I don't know. A little stressful when I found out about Naj coming on, but other than that, standard day, school, stuff like that.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
But yeah.
And I think I need a little bit of a stress reliever right now. You know what, Dad? Can you just bring up some news? I get some weird masochistic feeling right now when it comes to stuff like that. Maybe it'll help.
You got a masochistic feeling, so you want me to bring up the news? So
totally.
Is the news hurting your mind?
Totally. Let's hurt it some more.
Do you not enjoy the news that much that it hurts? That you do enjoy it because you're a masochist?
Hey, every news is bad news so far, folks.
Yeah.
Well, let's come up with some okay news then.
All right, bring it to me.
Iceberg Interactive has announced in their stardrivegame.com/forum page that development of Star Drive 2 is underway. They state the 4X space strategy sequel is coming to Windows PCs this September, noting that owners of the original Star Drive will receive a 33% loyalty discount. Suggested retail price is going to be around $29.99, and they have already posted 5 screenshots at their forum. Zero-Sum Games CEO Daniel DiCicco states, Star Drive 2 represents the culmination of 2 decades of love for the 4X genre and 5 years of work in the Star Drive universe. Here we have taken everything we have learned, our successes, our failures, and our passion, and made a 4X game that we are incredibly proud of. Neat. I'm kind of looking forward to Star Drive. It kind of looks like a mix between... FTL with some real-time combat.
Now, if I recall correctly, Star Drive is currently in the early access, right?
That I'm not sure of, actually.
Because I remember seeing it on Steam a couple times, and I did see some interest in it.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm being cautiously optimistic because last 4X game that I remember that was supposed to be, you know, this big hit was Sword of the Stars 2, and that was a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, I have Sword of the Stars 2. Please don't remind me.
I do kind of like same here. Star of the Pit, though.
I have yet to try that one. Now, from what I understand, like, what is Sword of the Stars Pit, if we can actually delve into that for a brief moment?
Sure, coming away from the news. Sword of the Stars 2 is kind of like a rogue... Or the Pit, excuse me. Is kind of a roguelike, top-down, isometric, like all of the levels, all of the enemies, all of the drops, everything is randomized. You get a pick between a soldier, an engineer, or a scout as your starting class. Each one does different things. They're capable of different types of survival. It's hard. It's a hard game. There's about 30 levels, and the last level might actually be the easiest in the game. Getting there is the hard
part. Sounds like the journey of every single video game out there these days.
Right. That's getting true. There is the hard part.
So let's go ahead and go back to the news real quick now that we have that brief description out there.
They do say that the journey is more important than the destination.
I agree with that.
The journey is certainly more painful. I know people that have had it since the day it came out that have not beaten it yet on easy.
Wow.
It's a difficult game.
Yeah.
Let's see. Calypso Media announced plans to commence beta testing of Tropico 5 next month, saying, "We're looking for gamers who have huge enthusiasm for city-building titles and with a wide experience playing within the genre. Please note that all communication within the beta will be English only." They've begun registering potential testers at betatest.calypsomedia.com/tropico5. Act now, supplies are limited.
Yes.
Are they charging for the beta? That's the question.
No, it's open beta. Or not open, excuse me. It's going to be a closed beta. They're taking in, they're basically giving it to people, but there's a limited amount of spots.
Oh, man, I enjoy Tropico.
Yeah, I remember playing Tropico 2. I loved the game when I was young.
Tropico 2 was by far one of my favorites out there. I have 3 as well, and I love that.
4 isn't bad.
I sadly missed out on it. I wish I got a chance to actually play it, but unfortunately it was just one of the ones I missed out on.
Fair enough. Speaking
at least
of
they're... Go ahead.
What was that?
I was going to say, hopefully that Tropico can reinvigorate the city building after the disaster that was SimCity.
If Tropico doesn't do it, I think Banished might.
Cautious optimism again here.
Yeah. Cautious optimism. Very much so.
Yep.
Speaking of beta tests, Renegade X has entered open beta at renegade-x.com. Renegade X is a fan-created first/third-person shooter based on the original Command & Conquer Renegade. They say Renegade X is free. It is a non-monetized game. Renegade X is straight-up free. Renegade X is a first/person shooter with RTS elements. Players will be able to fight for 2 unique teams, manage their own economies, choose from over 30 weapons, 15 vehicles, and call in nuclear strikes, ion cannons, and airstrikes, and a whole lot more. Renegade X is for all players, lone wolves, team-based gamers, tankers, snipers, rushers, turtlers, and all others. Kind of looking forward to that myself. Command & Conquer Renegade kind of sucked when it came out. But it does look like the Renegade X people have a better idea of how to make a game kind of fun.
Well,
I'm definitely going to have to take a word on that one. I missed out on Renegade.
I actually did play Renegade well after the fact. I found it fun, but I just found it as, you know, like a fun, mindless shooter, and I loved that it was in the Tiberium universe, the Command & Conquer Tiberium universe. I'm a big fan of those games.
Oh, totally.
So... hopefully somebody can, you know, take the spirit of Renegade and make it a good game.
Right. We're still looking at Blizzard waiting for Ghost to come out. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to be a skeleton at a bus stop, like, still waiting for OP to deliver. See what I did there? Vocal meme, how about that?
Yeah, there you go, man.
Battle.net has 2 bits of news for us. The 2.0.1 patch is available for Diablo 3 users in the Americas. They have complete patch notes, which are very extensive, as it outlines everything about the game's new Loot 2.0 mode, as well as the new Paragon 2.0 system. The update is automatically available through the Battle.net launcher. Also, Blizzard has confirmed paid leveling for World of Warcraft. Eurogamer.net has a statement from WoW lead design, or excuse me, lead encounter designer Ion Hazakostas, confirming the rumor, explaining that it will cost about $60 to boost the character from nothing to 90 in WoW. This is coming hot on the heels of some more information regarding the Warlords of Draenor expansion that is due out shortly. And so that, that I'm not sure how to feel about that.
No,
honestly.
Wait a second. How much was it again?
Pay to win. They're paying to win.
It, well, you're not even paying a win, because the Warlords of Draenor is going to have a level cap to, what, 95? So they're only getting you up to the point where you can experience the new expansion with that character, and they're charging you $60 to do it. The question is, how much is the expansion going to cost? Would it be cheaper to just buy a couple copies of the expansion and get your free level boost that way?
I mean, it's possible. The big thing I'm kind of been saying, you know what, call me a heretic, but maybe Blizzard should just leave a skeleton crew behind in WoW and make it, and start making a WoW 2 and stop doing expansions. They've been bleeding players for years.
You know, I mean, maybe, or maybe they could leave WoW behind and start going into more of a ranged StarCraft MMO, kind of like PlanetSide 2, but, you know, do it better.
Or call me crazy, but maybe we could do a Warcraft 4? Maybe, anyone? Maybe? I'm
or
just saying.
Maybe we'll just shut Blizzard down and give the IPs to other better companies.
Maybe we'll just hang out and ride this cash wave as it keeps coming, because World of Warcraft, I think, is going to be here to stay for a few more years.
Yeah, that's definite.
Yeah, that's true. Sure.
Triumph Studios has announced that Age of Wonders 3 will be released on March 31st, offering the newest installment in their fantasy-themed turn-based strategy series. You can pre-order the game on GOG and Steam, which should include a pre-order bonus of the Elven Resurgence scenario, which will bring series followers back into the Heartwood Forest. All right. Shadowrun Dragonfall is available for pre-order on Steam, which is kind of funny that I didn't mention that any previously, because I dig Shadowrun, and I just didn't realize it was there. Oops, I missed it. The reason I'm harping on myself missing that is because you can pre-order it all you want, but it's going to be unlocked tomorrow.
Better catch on that, folks, man. Yeah.
So it will require that you already own Shadowrun Returns, and Dragonfall offers a new full-length campaign. It's going to be set in Berlin. There's going to be a host of new weapons and enemies, and I'm mainly excited because they finally added a sniper rifle. I'm also interested to see if they added more stuff for the Decker to do.
Seriously, I tried creating a Decker class right now, and I was a little bit disappointed so far.
One gripe I've got is that they just don't give the Decker enough to do.
Well, the problem is that I've seen they're putting it in Shadow in 2050. The actual tabletop game, which I'll get into later, is actually now set in 4th edition early like 2072 to 2074. The newest game, Shadowrun 5, I could be mistaken, but I think it's mid to late 2070s, and at this point they've added wireless. So one thing that I would have recommended the Shadowrun Returns guys do is, instead of doing it in the original Shadowrun Edition 1 timeline, they should have fast-forwarded and went straight to 2070. Post-crash 2.0.
I suppose that's going to add a whole bunch of questions, such as, have they got the rights to the newer Shadowrun material?
They were advertising this along with 5th Edition.
Okay.
So somebody up, I think Catalyst is sharing the Shadowrun rights with a company. I can't remember what the name for the Shadowrun Returns guys are. Unfortunately,
In Exile, I think.
In Exile. I wouldn't be surprised if Catalyst either owns them or has some sort of partnership with them for Shadowrun, because 2013 was the year of Shadowrun.
Well, sure. You also got to consider that some of the guys working at the studio that's making the game are, you know, what used to be FASA.
Yeah.
Like, and technically, they're the original creators of the IP, but, you know,
who
knows how that
stuff
works.
It's a German company. I don't know much about them. There's this really weird German company that owns all the rights to Shadowrun. Catalyst just licenses from them.
Fair enough.
I don't know, but there's apparently, like, there's content just for the Germans. It's bizarre.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, they're... 4th edition Shadowrun has this book called Arsenal that gives you new gear, weapons, armor, vehicles. Yeah, there is a German edition that has more stuff in it.
I could make a lot of really off-color jokes, and I'm trying so hard not to, but I want you all to be aware that I really could. I promise you I can.
And the
reviews of the Thief reboot have started rolling out, and the game has a Metascore of only 69 as of 4 p.m. today. That's mediocre. That's very mediocre. Most complaints seem to revolve around the game's linear pathways, like jumping on a rope to get down to somewhere cleaner or faster and then not being able to detach from the rope, so you have to climb back up and then just jump off a ledge. Other people are unable to jump off ledges because there's no jump button or feature. A lot of people are just disappointed with not being able to get through the levels in their own way. That is kind of not good. Fine, it's not the original voice actor for Garrett, but, like, whatever. Is the game really that bad, though? I mean, I'd be willing to bet if they called it something else, something it felt more like, I don't know, maybe a Dishonored-like title or anything that didn't have such a huge nostalgia factor, that would it be more widely accepted?
Well, that was my impression why, you know, Thief even happened was because of Dishonored. Because wasn't Dishonored essentially just like a predecessor of Thief at this point?
Well, no, because you got to look back into the, mid to late 90s when the Thief series was first starting. Like, Dishonored, if anything, borrowed a lot of elements from the original Thief and tried to make the game way more fast-paced.
Well, sure, and like I said, like, Dishonored was definitely a predecessor, well, not a predecessor, I'm failing on my words right now here, folks.
A follower.
A follower, thank you. A follower of Thief.
Yeah, and that's fair.
The thing I see with the new Thief is it kind of... It's not the same, not exactly the same, but has a similar problem to Duke Nukem Forever. It's been so long since they released the last game that the hype has gone beyond what the game could hope to achieve. Though it's not as bad as Duke Nukem Forever. I haven't played Thief. I'm not a fan of the series, but I'm assuming that mechanically the game functions properly and does what the designers intended it to do.
I'm not sure. I'm going to give the game a shot. I liked Dishonored. It was kind of fun, and I'm not really stuck in the past, though I guess I will miss putting out torches with arrows that are soaked in water. A secondary issue that I've got there is that you brought up Duke Nukem Forever. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Oh God. Oh. I'm making the reference. The other one I would have gone for is the Assassin's Creed.
Well, we'll talk about that right now. Gearbox is suing 3D Realms and Interceptor Entertainment for IP infringement. 3D Realms and Interceptor released teasers relating to a new Duke Nukem development, which is bad news for them because Gearbox bought the rights to Duke Nukem from 3D Realms in 2010. They bought, aside from very exclusive circumstances, they bought the entirety of the Duke Nukem property.
How were they even able to pull that one off?
You remember how Duke Nukem Forever took like 13 years before it came out? It came out after Gearbox bought that turd, polished it, and put it on a shelf.
Oh, man.
I didn't even think they polished it. They just kind of plopped it down there, hoping it would sell.
So that's it for the news. So let's talk a little bit more about Gearbox and 3D Realms for a moment. They both suck. Okay, moment over.
I second that motion. Who here remembers Colonial Marines?
How about that?
So, yeah, it looks like that's about it for the news. Am I right here, Doug?
Yep, that's going to do it. Now back to, us. I'd say back to the studio like I have been, but I don't want to be that guy that repeats himself all the damn time,
Uh-oh, it's starting to infect him right now, folks.
Now, Kelly, back to you. Hey, it wasn't you.
Fair enough. Who's Kelly?
You don't want to know.
Kelly is an invisible individual that helps us out through the news segment that we don't necessarily know, but is here somehow.
Right.
Jake is actually a puppet and doesn't know it.
That's what that strange feeling was. Okay, no, never mind.
All right, joke's over. Let's move on. All right. So, I guess recently, earlier today, I decided to go ahead and post up earlier when we set up the page, basically, for the Good Game Guys, where I felt that we were going to go ahead and revisit the Lone Wolf. Now, previously, now for folks that probably haven't listened to our previous episode where we discussed the Lone Wolf, I'll go ahead and give a quick brief summary. Like, a Lone Wolf to me is essentially someone that doesn't work well with the team. In fact, probably goes out of their way to probably do stuff on their own and their own beneficial issue, like, you know, hey, I need a better kill-death ratio, as opposed to, hey, I want to win this game.
Yeah.
And as of recent, I kind of experienced that while playing Guns of Icarus for certain. Like, as of recent, I decided to actually start captaining a ship. As my name implies, I am a captain, after all.
Right, you're a doctor captain. Remember, folks, this is Dr. Captain, the guy who's so self-important he requires two titles.
Damn straight.
Oh, that don't worry. Term. I've got somebody who's even worse. I know somebody who's even worse. Doc, what is it? Dr. Let's Baron not... von Evil Satan.
Oh, my.
Old friend of mine.
I probably could have gone there.
Dr. Baron von Evil
Satan. Evil Satan, he's an old friend.
I might adopt that name. Careful,
don't
folks.
Well,
it sounds like it's already been used by somebody else, you non-original bastard.
I got to take out this Dr. Evil Berenstein, then. I got where is this man? I must defeat him.
Oops, I just tapped on my mic stand. I hope that didn't offend anybody's delicate sensibilities.
Anyway, though. So, yeah, I've recently been playing Guns of Icarus lately, and Guns of Icarus is essentially a game where it's strictly based on ship combat, if you will.
Hmm.
Although more based on not so much on the olden days of wooden ships, if you will. It sort of is, but it sort of isn't at the same time, because it's a very steampunk-heavy game. So with that said, it's more like you're flying around in a Zeppelin, if you will.
Okay, airships.
Yeah, airships, definitely.
Right.
But yeah. They're just like an old galleon or just like frigates, all
with
that.
With huge-ass balloons or some shit on it? Or
exactly.
Okay.
And you basically have your different roles in the game, where you have three different roles of being an engineer, a gunner, or the pilot. And mostly if you're the pilot, you're the captain.
All right.
That's what I chose.
Go figure. Yeah. So he's the guy that's off at the edge of the map crashing into the invisible wall wondering why he's not going anywhere.
Oh, thankfully not. Though I have experienced that as a gunner. No, I've definitely been the kind of person that sticks on the enemy and prefers to stick with the attack method of keeping the guy on my broadside.
Fair enough. That's sort of how you're supposed to do it.
Pretty much. Unfortunately, my gunners don't seem to understand. Well, I don't even know if I really need to attack my gunners or my engineers at this point, because it seems the engineers feel that they're gunners and they don't bother to repair stuff that needs to be fixed. That seems like an important thing that needs to be done.
Right, or perhaps you shouldn't let yourself get broadsided while you're trying to broadside.
I guess so. But regardless,
well, it's
just
almost unavoidable.
Oh, I'm sorry, Seawall, you were saying?
Well, if you're doing a broadside to broadside, it's pretty hard to avoid it in the first place. You are presenting your most easy-to-hit target.
That's why you go side to back or side to front.
That's a decent point.
Yeah, true.
So,
to minimize the damage that they're going to do against you, especially if they're in a bigger ship.
Mm-hmm.
Take that to heart when you're playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag as well. Don't let yourself get hit by those, like, magical level 72 freaking man-o-wars. They will harm you.
Dude, I've taken on some of those man-o-wars at a pretty low level. And
they will harm you.
They harm me, but I still win at the end. That is the life of a pirate, my mateys.
Right.
Probably said that a little wrong, but let's move on.
You did, in fact, but that's okay. You are no Johnny Depp.
No, I'm not. I may try it.
Feel free to try and fail over and over again.
Until I perfect it.
Until we're done laughing at you.
Yeah, fair enough. So one of the issues that I noticed that definitely is, as far as going back into the Lone Wolf issue, is that, like I stated earlier, it seems like a lot of the players like to go on their own particular thing and not necessarily focus on their class orients. And, yeah, it's just been kind of irritating me an awful lot lately. Like, I don't know. Am I the only one here that really seems that kind of irritated when it comes down to players just not really following their roles? I know I asked this question before, and I kind of got an answer, but I kind of didn't at the same time.
It disappoints me when people play a team-based game without even playing the objectives.
Mm-hmm.
If there are objectives in your game, then you're automatically going to be drawn closer together as a team because everybody should be playing the objective. Yeah. The problem is not the lone wolves, particularly, who get to the objective by themselves.
Sure.
It's the people who don't even go anywhere near the objective and expect their whole team to just carry them.
Man, what's your freaking name to call them, because I feel
assholes.
Bad.
Those people are assholes.
That works for me, but I feel like
I
we need to
go for waste of space,
better
usually.
That. Because assholes is a little bit too good for them.
It's a little
How about
generic.
Waste of space?
Yeah, it kind
of
is, really. You know what? Let's work on that, folks.
Well, Seawall mentioned something, but...
I'm sorry. Seawall, you were saying?
Yeah, waste of space. That's what they usually are.
Ooh.
Waste of space or waste of bandwidth.
Waste of a team slot.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to play devil's advocate kind of a little bit. There are games that you do technically have defined rules, but you can go outside of them. But those games give you a bit more control over your character. My biggest example, Star Trek Online.
Well,
there are science captains flying around in TAC ships and built like TAC captains, but they use certain science abilities. But it's
that's
how
also sort of because the game is kind of broken and the developer,
yes,
was it Perfect World?
Originally Cryptic, but
Cryptic,
Perfect
World
decided to buy
them out. Whomever decided that DPS is king. They decided that we don't care about tanks, we don't care about healers, it's all about how much damage you could do, get to the top of your charts, go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, true.
And that has really soured the game somewhat for me recently. I'm still playing my science dude, but when you're hanging out in a science ship and you're only pushing like 4,000 or 5,000 DPS, and there's a TAC guy that came up to you in a freaking carrier that's dropping like 12,000 DPS, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You're just going to lose. And that sort of sucks. It's not even rock, paper, scissors. It's rock, paper, scissors, lava, and the TAC captains and the TAC ships are always lava.
No, if I may interject real quick, it's not rock, paper, scissors. It's rock, paper, Vulcan. Because remember, Vulcan is the winner of all rock, paper, scissors games.
Hit you in the nuts! I was going to go for rock, paper, shotgun, but that works too.
Well, we weren't going to mention that because that's an actual, like,
that's an actual
entity
website
out there.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. My bad.
You terrible person.
Oh.
What are you trying to do? Give out, like, plugs to a certain place that hasn't necessarily plugged us yet?
The longer we talk about this, the more they're getting.
Yeah, seriously. Let's move on from this.
Okay.
Pulling drag chute.
What?
Pulling the drag chute. On the conversation. Conversation stops.
The conversation has stopped. So let's go back to the lone wolf situation then, at the very least. Because I can't
It's not lone wolves then do that, though. Like,
I know, but until we can think of a better name. You know what? I think a better thing that we could actually do right now. Folks,
WTSs. They're WTSs. Waste of a team slot. WTSs.
Whoa. That's not too bad, but you know what, fans? I'm curious to hear what you guys have to maybe actually give a more appropriate name than a-holes. So, where's an appropriate place where they could actually kind of submit their ideas on a real name for people that just aren't that very good at working as a team?
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe they can put a comment up on our Facebook over at The Good Game Guys. They can hit us up at Twitters at, what was it, Good Game Guys 1?
Yep, definitely.
Because we want everything. Yes. they can head over to easywaybroadcasting.com and
maybe
they can submit comments there.
Yeah, they could submit comments there.
They could send us an email over at the original goodgameguys at Gmail.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Still working out some video recording stuff. Turns out I need more hard drives.
Uh-oh.
So that's that YouTube stuff that we've been talking about. It's on the way as soon as funding happens.
Yeah.
Funding. So we could always go with this. Construct additional pylons.
Sure.
You know what, you? Can I hang up on him?
No, I can hang up on him.
I can click this button right here.
Don't hang up on him. We
I'll be good.
We're just around a little bit. Because right now, I actually know he Well, we'll still work with the Lone Wolves title. I know he's definitely had his Lone Wolves in tabletop gaming, Seawall. What some experiences you've had in the tabletop scene?
Well, depending on the game, you can have a true Lone Wolf, somebody that goes the objective without anyone behind them. But the games I've played, you don't see those. They're very rare and very hard to build. One of the examples that I usually have in D&D is there are these certain bards that they can be very useful if they're played right, or they can be very annoying. In 4th edition D&D, there's, you know, skills, and they get to a certain level. Yeah, based on, you know, ability, you know, level, training, stuff like that. Well, bards with the right combination of feats and equipment can actually gain untrained skill bonuses higher than that of people who specialize in them.
Now, for clarification real quick, what exactly is a bard? Like, I know personally what a bard is, but
a bard is, you know, somebody who plays musical instruments, sings, dances, stuff like that. In D&D, they're a form of arcane healer.
Bard is a waste of space.
I'm sorry, I prefer to see a bard as a rock star, thank you.
Actually, bards can be really powerful. They're very good at buffing and debuffing if they're built in certain ways. Or they can beat combat monsters.
D&D 4.0, Dragons 4.0, play a bard.
No. They have to be built certain ways to get those certain tricks.
Oh, really? Well, how exactly do they have to be built, if I may ask?
Well, if you're going for more of a combat one, it's a combination of certain abilities, putting your attribute points in certain areas, what equipment loadout you got. It's one of those things that it's a combination of several things. I haven't played a bard, so I can't really give you specifics.
All right, that's fair enough.
Yeah, but I do know that there are some bards that are really good at, you know, healing people and giving them buffs and debuffing the enemy. There are ones that are good at, you know, direct combat, hitting people, and they kind of throw out the heals now and then to help out the guys that they're working with. It's all relative.
Aren't there also bards out there that are really good at making the other players not want to play with them?
Oh, yeah. Those are the types that essentially are the skill monkey, the super skill monkeys, that make everyone else irrelevant out of combat. Bards, another thing about the bard that's actually very nice about them is they're jacks of all trade. If you don't have a thief in your party, you can use the bard. Often a bard will have a very decent thievery check, or they'll be very stealthy or cunning. If you don't have, you know, a fighter with streetwise, they can do streetwise. They can kind of fill in the gaps here and there. Or they will be assisting the people who have the higher skill check. Like, they'll be assisting the thief with disarming traps while you're going through a dungeon. But the problem is, when they have a higher skill check than the guy who specializes in it, they can kind of get really annoying, because then the other player's going like, well, my character's now useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what you said, like the lone wolf, like, why am I even playing?
Right. Well, it's not why am I playing, it's why am I playing with you.
Yeah.
I'm learning something here.
Yeah, like those are the sorts of people that don't get invited back to games.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially that guy, if you will.
Yeah, the bard is that guy.
Well, not always, because you can build them, you can theoretically build them as a rogue or another classes, but the bard is the easiest to do it in. It's one of the more effective, yeah, but you can do this with almost any class if you do it right. It's kind of the same thing with having the kind of the crazy combat monster character, because there's another type of lone wolf. It's not a true lone wolf, but it kind of falls in the same category of why am I playing with this guy? I call them the super specialized. They are so specialized to a point that they can only do one thing. One of the best examples is I've seen a few gun adepts in Shadowrun, and kind of.
My bad.
Ooh, whoops! Hang on.
I'm back.
Sorry about that, Seawall.
It's okay. I thought you were sick. I thought you guys were tired of talking to me.
No, sorry. No. I was just prepping because we do need to take a minute break really soon here.
Okay. I'll just say, you know, just quickly. Shadowrun is a. I'll give a quick introduction to it because less people know about it. Shadowrun is a cyberpunk game that throws in. It's kind of cyberpunk meets urban and high fantasy.
Yeah, sure.
So people can get that idea in their head while we go to break.
Before we take our break, folks, we want to just remind you that you can go ahead and call in on us. Dag, how can they call in and be a part of our show?
Well, if you would like to, since Skype hasn't been working, we can't really use Skype right. We're going to just wait on the whole Skype thing until Blog Talk updates their stuff. But if you have, like, an old-style rotary telephone or, like, you know, something like a brick that you can pick up and touch numbers on its screen and it makes phone calls.
80s style.
You can punch in the number 914-338-1303, and that will get you to our show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can pick up and say hi. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take that break.
All right, folks. Well, we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. HavanaWatches.com provides the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in our custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and internationally designed models. HavanaWatches.com has been creating high-quality watches since 2004. Our executive staff has over 18 years of watch experience. I myself was the past president of Whitnor Watches International. We are American-owned and operated. Our goal is to provide you with a watch you are proud to wear. We want to be your preferred watch brand in the United States. See our styles at HavanaWatches.com. Fine watches exclusively for you.
And we are back, folks.
Did you hear that? Fine watches exclusively for you.
Totally, man.
Yes.
I'm still very much waiting for that steampunk watch to come out.
Well, let's kind of go, that's kind of a not-so-good segue, but let's go from steampunk to cyberpunk.
Hey, we can do that.
Yeah,
so let's
totally.
Talk about Shadowrun.
So yeah, I was talking about kind of the super specialized guys who are only good at one thing.
Sure.
In Shadowrun, there is the concept of magic, and there are magicians, you know, or mages.
Right.
They go by many different names, depending on their tradition.
Well, let's go ahead and give a quick rundown for our audience out there. Like, what exactly is Shadowrun? Like, you mentioned it's cyberpunk.
Well, aside from amazing, what is Shadowrun?
Yeah.
Shadowrun is, depending on which one you... it's a game that's been going on since, I believe, the late 80s. It's a game that happens in the... I wouldn't call it not too distant, but the somewhat distant future. The first edition starts in 2050... the most recent edition happens in mid-late 2070s.
So very much on my interest.
And the world
is
a dystopia, pretty much. Corporations rule. Governments are extremely paranoid. Freedoms are limited. And the characters, unless they're going for a corporate game where they actually play as part of the corporations or play as part of the governments, they are what are known as Shadowrunners. A Shadowrunner is a deniable asset.
So, Seawall, real quick, would Shadowrun actually be, for point of reference, if I may, would Shadowrun actually be somewhat close to Blade Runner, if you will?
I've only seen a bit of Blade Runner, but yes, that would be an example. Kind of that, you know, packed in, very grimy look for the low street level and the very kind of sterile and clean look for the highest level corporate buildings.
Hmm.
And, well, what the Shadowrunners are, they're deniable assets. It kind of takes the concept of hostile takeover to a new level.
I dare say that the Shadowrunners are more like not really any particular character in Blade Runner, but more like the concept of what the guy was talking about when he was talking about Tears in the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there's someone calling in.
Oh, hey, all right. Let's take a quick little look right now at the caller that we have. Hello, caller.
Hello,
you're
can
on
hear
the
me?
Air. Who? Real quick, who are you?
I'm a friend of Dr. Captain on Skype. I go by Alex, but my hashtag on Twitter I just made to talk to you guys. At MRDIZ87, Mr. Dysfunction.
Hey, right on, dude. What's going on? What brings you to the show today?
Hello, Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Hey, Dr. Captain. Hey, like I said, Dr. Captain's a Skype friend of mine. I just thought I'd call and say hello. Let you know you got a listener right here listening. Loves video games, been a gamer for a long time.
Right on. Have you played Shadowrun before by any chance? I mean, since we're talking about it, you know.
Yeah, I don't play many computer games because my computer is a piece of junk, you know. People call
objection,
people call
relevancy.
Well, that's a computer
sustained.
Game, isn't it?
No, Shadowrun is a tabletop game akin to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I'm pretty derpy. Give me a break. No, I don't play tabletop games, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
I don't have anything against them. I just haven't really had a chance.
No, fair enough. All right, well, actually, let's take this moment to ask you real quick. What are some games you actually play?
I play a lot of single-player offline games on, like, Xbox 360, or play some old console games like PS1 and PS2 a lot, too. Right
now,
you
play, like,
on
Call of Duty
Dogma.
Or Halo on the Xbox by chance?
RPGs mostly.
RPGs.
Right now, working on Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen. Real good game.
Uh-huh.
How is Dark Arisen? How is that different from the original, and is it worth picking up?
It's worth picking up instead of the original because it adds stuff that has the base game in it, and it fixed a lot of the things that people didn't like about the original. They added in a good fast travel system as well as some other things.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any questions? Anything that you wanted to chat about?
Nope, just wanted to say hello and, you know, show my support.
Oh, well, hey, man, thanks for the support, and you know what? We'll go ahead and talk with you a little bit later, but for now, we're going to go ahead and move on. So thank you, Alex,
okay,
for the
have
call,
a good one.
And we'll talk to you later,
I'll
dude.
Be listening.
Thanks, man.
Well, that was nice.
That was definitely nice. I'm glad to hear, like, we have someone that's supporting our show, basically.
It's nice when you have friends that are like, hey, I'm your friend and I'm listening. Like, how many people have that going on?
Not an awful lot. I can
right?
tell you for
sure. Right?
Hey, friends. You know what? I have a show right now. You should really listen and support me.
Right. Like, you don't understand how many people I told about this stuff. Like,
oh, man.
But at the same time, like, you do sort of want to have, like, relevancy or something going on with the current topic when you do call.
Oh,
in.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Yeah. But, you know what, at the same time, I'm glad that there's at least some form of support going on for the show.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
We're just a couple of guys talking about video games. We can kind of jump around between topics.
Sure. I don't mind that a little bit here and there, but, you know, I'll agree with Dag. Let's have a little relevancy to the topic at hand for future reference here, folks. Is that too much to ask?
Jesus Christ, the look that he gave me when he was saying that. Like, the little shimmy he did in his chair and, like, the Fonzie, like, hey. Like, Christ, that was uncanny.
If only we had the
Damn
camera
it.
Set. You guys can see that look.
Well, and then I could see that look, too, and then I'm kind of glad I'm halfway across the state.
Right, yeah, very much so. Like, yeah.
So let's go ahead and go back to Shadowrun real quick. Basically, so I'm understanding that Shadowrun is very much a cyberpunk setting right
cyberpunk
now.
Cyberpunk meets
for,
urban fantasy. Cyberpunk
I'm
meets
sorry?
Urban fantasy. Cyberpunk
meets
fantasy.
Urban fantasy.
Okay, so
a little bit of,
with my Blade Runner, I get, like, you know, orcs and elves and all that kind of stuff.
You get, following the normal rules, there are 5 playable races. There's the baseline human. There's elves, orcs, dwarves, and trolls.
Mm-hmm.
Each of them have their advantages and disadvantages. Human, one of the advantages of them playing them is it doesn't cost any extra, you know, points to play as them. But, you know, you don't get the advantages of, like, the elves are more charismatic and they're more agile. Orcs, a little bit hardier. Trolls, even more hardier. Dwarves, they're also tougher. It's kind of like you got three tougher ones to varying degrees and then one that's more agile.
Oh, well, it figures the trolls are harder to kill. Am I right here, folks?
Oh, God, yes.
Well, I mean, look at them.
And they keep telling us, don't feed the trolls, right?
Well, it looks like we're going to need a flame war to stop these guys. But,
I think we killed Dag with our little poking of fun here.
All I can think of is, like, the flamethrowers, like... like, You know, I really wish those guys over there were on fire, but I can't manage it from this distance.
Yeah, sorry about that. Low-hanging fruit.
By all means, please continue real quick.
But yeah,
so brief summary so far that we have orcs, trolls, what else? Elves, dwarves, and humans.
And just
of course,
your generic
right?
humans. And then, and there are a couple other specialized ones, like there, you know, there are, I think that there's like you actually can play as Bigfoot in fourth edition. You can play as a Sasquatch. Yes, what? Yeah, there are some. Sentient sapients, which it's just weird terms. They're just other races that you can play as. You can play as like a shifter, so you can like shift, like you're an animal that can shift into humans, and you get certain advantages, disadvantages with that. And then you know, then there's also the play as an AI in fourth edition, which is new, and you can also play as a free spirit, which is magic, which could part of the magic stuff. But as I was saying, I was talking about the magicians earlier, and I was also talking about the super specialized gun adepts. What an adept is, it's a magician that instead of using powers to manifest like magical abilities, they use their magical power to enhance their own abilities. Like,
no, wait a second. You're actually telling me in a cyberpunk setting, like, you know, I'm going to keep bringing this up, by the way, in Blade Runner, there's actually magic in this world?
Yeah, it's called this world for a reason.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah.
The Awakening.
Yeah, The Awakening. And people who have magic are considered the Awakened.
That magic everywhere and kind of screwed everything up for everybody.
Oh, God, yeah. It messed everything up. And, yeah, magic can be very powerful, but it has its drawbacks. So, but, yeah, the Adepts, you know, they use their magical ability to enhance their own abilities. Like, you know, they're better. You can actually build, with the right setup, you can build an Adept that has Shadowrun mechanics. Is based on a dice pool system. Those who have played played things like the White Wolf games, we're talking, you know, old or new World of Darkness, where you have instead of having like a d20 that you roll and a bonus to the, and like a bonus number from skills, you instead roll a number of dice, and depending on the result of the dice depends on how successful you are.
Mm-hmm.
In Shadowrun, when you roll a d6, a 5 or a 6 is considered a success. But yeah, you can have normal dice pools for the starting character can vary anywhere from 6 to maybe 16 if they really push it. With depths, you can see over 20.
Which is a lot of dice.
Yeah.
But these guys are so specialized to a point that they can only shoot. These guys, they will mow down an entire enemy SWAT team in 3 to 6 seconds. But they're not very sneaky, they can't talk to people, they don't know how to drive, they've got no other skill set.
For the non-tabletop players out there, imagine you're in Vegas and you're playing a game of craps and you've got all your money on boxcars, you only got 2 dice to roll. These sort of specialized characters allow you to roll like 16 to 20 dice.
Or more.
Stupid. It's crazy. It's a lot of dice to keep track of.
Yeah. There's a demotivator floating around out there where it's like Shadowrun, the game where your 60 pounds of dice actually are useful.
Well, sure. I mean, Warhammer, not like Warhammer Fantasy or anything, but like, not the role-playing game, but like Warhammer 40K, Warhammer Fantasy, like the whole tabletop combat simulator, if you will. I forget what to call that. You can have so many dice in that. Like, you get these cubes. Looks like Dr. Captain has one of these cubes. Where you've got, like, what, 36 dice in here?
I don't even know anymore.
And you use all of them. Like, all of them.
I use that for when I have my, because I play Warhammer 40K, mind you. And I'm still waiting to get myself a Vulture for those real quick. It's basically the equivalent of a Black Hawk that basically has a Gatling gun, if you will, where basically you roll 20 dice on the table. And you can re-roll that, too.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for, folks.
But that's, for me, that just seems like too many little pieces that can go missing under a couch or, like, fall off the table and be stolen by rats or, like, I'm not really into that. I prefer the fewest dice possible. I actually really like the Warhammer Fantasy role-playing tabletop for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You have two dice to roll.
Yep.
It's a percentage. Roll 2d10 for everything, unless you roll 1d10.
Yep.
It's simple. It's to the point. You don't have to keep track of who's Bogarting whoever else's dice.
Yep.
It's easier. It's simpler. I prefer it that way.
I'm just sitting here learning a few things here and there because I'm not that much of a tabletop gamer, and I'd love to be.
Well,
you know?
Shadowrun gets hard to play when you've got these specialized characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of math involved. Like, I just rolled a billion freaking dice. Now I have to add them all up.
There is a way to counter that now, though. The advent of programs like Map Tools and Roll20, you can actually program them, which is a simple, like, slash, like the slash roll command, like 10d6 greater than 5, and it will tell you how many successes you got.
Uh-huh.
But that's using more modern technology.
Like a computer program that'll help you kind
of
like fix...
Yeah, keep track of everything.
If you have a computer program hanging out with your friends and all that, then you probably have a computer somewhere around your table.
Tabletop has kind of gone virtual.
Gaming sessions. I'm not going to buy a laptop to bring to gaming sessions.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, a lot of the bulk of tabletop has gone, well, at least for RP game, like role-playing games, has gone virtual.
Fair enough. I've got to look into more of that because I am interested. The prime issue I've got is I've already got a local group of gaming friends that are quickly getting back together as they move back into town. So I'm I'm trying to throw stuff together with that and actually try to have more of a social environment where we actually get together and, you know, at the same time we'll do some sort of random like craft beer tasting stuff like... You bring beer this time, bring a different type every time, and...
Yeah.
You mean like what we do for the show?
Like we're trying to do for the show, even though, like, TKO keeps missing out.
Yeah, totally, man.
Yeah, Dag, if you ever want to be introduced, I know a good community that does a lot of role play.
Okay.
I can do an introduction for you, see if there's any group, if there's group in my groups, I'll, you know, shoot you a line if you're interested. And, you know, I can, you know...
Oh, right.
Just, you know, just throwing that out there for you.
Yeah,
and I know
a few
resources online to find it out. Yeah. I know a few resources online. But warning, online, there's quite a few bad players and bad GMs floating out there. A lot of them.
Well, the same could be said about just in person as well, couldn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
True, but you can get a better handle on a person when you meet them and talk to them. When in person, you can see that...
Would be a hell of a lot easier.
Well, it's easier to filter people out online, but there's more people online.
I guess
like
that's
your
point.
When you get smaller groups together in person, it's like, I never met you. The first time I'm meeting you is at this game my friend is running. Let's see what kind of derp you are. You're a super derp. Okay, buddy. Hey, GM, either I'm not coming back or he's not coming back. I can't handle that level of derp.
Yeah. That's I've had you know the crap kicked out of me so many times that I'm almost at the point where if I'm gonna play in a group I need either a friend vouching for the GM or I need to know the GM personally. It's just I've had so many bad GMs.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah. Let's get the super specialized characters.
GM yourself.
There's a polar opposite to this kind of why are you playing this game of the super specialized. That's the super generalized. I'm paraphrasing the expression. What is it? Can do everything but master of nothing?
Yeah, jack of all trades but master of none.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Why are you playing this game?
Yeah, I've seen this type of character. Sure, usually they're decent in combat, but out of combat they can't really do much. They're just kind of floating around.
The 3.5 rogue,
well, I got to ask real quick, is that really just the character or is that just the person playing the character?
No, it's how the character's built. Even it doesn't matter how you play them. If you just don't have the dice to do the things, it's a risk every time you try to do it because they're in Shadowrun, the target numbers are how many successes you get. You know, you can see certain situations, you'll see 4, 5, 6.
Jack, real quick, isn't there always a risk whenever you roll the dice?
Well, yeah, there's always a risk, but...
Hang on just a moment. I've realized that we've been talking about rolling dice for the past, like, 10, 15 minutes or so. Yeah. How many interesting... Well, not how many, but what would you say, Seawall, is the most interesting character in one of these games that you've run into? Who had, like, the best background story that you've ever heard of or got to experience? Because these are role-playing games. They're not just mechanics.
Yeah,
like,
they are stories.
There's supposed to be a story behind them. So what's an awesome story? What's an interesting story that you got?
I'm curious.
I don't really have characters because of how much bad luck I've had or just by the people I play with. Either they have very limited backstories that are simple. I kind of go above and beyond, but I don't want to tell my stories because I've got bias. And I can get trapped in my own stories.
You have bias, if I may.
That I think the story is really cool, but the listeners might think that I'm, you know, stealing someone else's idea and I wasn't aware of it, or things like that. I'm trying to,
Don't
did
let that
you, before you created the character, did you think of a different source and find somebody else's story to steal? Or did you come up with it on your own?
I came up with it on my own.
Well, then I don't think we're going to have that problem, are we?
Okay. But, yeah, Brethren, going, because there is a really cool story, but it's not with characters. It's with a world that a friend of mine runs. It's a very unique world. Deg, you know at least the basics about D&D, that the drow are almost always evil and living in the Underdark.
Yeah.
And you've at least heard about the Dragonborn in 4th edition.
Yes, I actually played a Dragonborn Warden in 4th edition.
Yeah, they're interesting. But in this world where the characters are playing, they're primarily playing in the Underdark, and the drow are pretty much like humans. Some are evil, some are good. It just depends on who you're talking to. Kind of took the concept of kind of the normal D&D world, turned it on its head, and the party lives in this, this party is very unique. If they happen to be drow or dragonborn, they're from this world. If we have humans, stuff like that, they come from another world. And what's happening is this world is kind of falling apart almost, and we don't know why. I don't want to go into the details because my friend might try to run this, and he'll kill me if he finds out that I spoil the story. But the important thing is it's really unique that I was actually able to incorporate my favorite character story into this world as well, a version of him. And with this, in this world, it's really unique that he's kind of saying this, that drow aren't all evil, and even though they are living in the Underdark, it's not a place of evil. It's just who you talk to. And the surface is kind of the weird place that few people come from. My character's from there. Yeah, it's just this kind of unique world where there are ruins to explore of ancient magics. There are a couple other continents to explore with their own unique twists. And it's again, one of those things that it's the journey, not the destination, that makes this world so interesting.
All right. I suppose that's fair enough. But you can, your experience, you may just have bad luck, but you can run into scenarios where the story trumps the gameplay.
Oh, yeah.
I would generally like to think that when it comes down to, the tabletop scene.
Yeah, it depends on system you're playing as. It depends on the system that you're playing on, the people you're playing with, and your GM. Because I've been involved in a few fourth edition D&D games where all the people wanted to do was combat, and they optimized their characters for just combat.
But that's
because
fourth edition D&D is built around combat. It's like World of Warcraft with pen and paper.
But the thing is, they sucked out what few roleplay elements that were even left. It was purely
combat.
Of course
they did.
I'm just sitting here learning so much right now.
Yeah. Shadowrun is kind of the opposite. Because of how it's built, it forces roleplay. You can't just, you can't just drive a bus through the front door of the corporation and expect to take out your target. You have to use some cunning stealth. There are parties that are more aggressive, but they usually don't last as long, or they deal with cops more often, or they're only working in the underworld. They're not dealing with corporate targets.
Mm-hmm. Right. And remember, with Shadowrun, what you should always keep in mind is that you never make a deal with a dragon.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Captain, just like, his hair blew back a little bit. Like, he had no idea what I was saying.
Seriously, I just feel like information just hitting me real hard.
Yeah, there are dragons in Shadowrun. There are dragons in Shadowrun. I know we're plugging another guy, but I'm not going to say his name unless you want to. He says that if you don't want the players to find a way to kill it, you don't stat it. In 4th edition Shadowrun, they do not stat the dragons. They literally say if they go up against a dragon, they are dead.
They will lose. Yep.
These things are insanely powerful magical creatures. The weapons of man and the magics of man cannot hope to destroy them. Even though there have been some dragons killed in the Shadowrun universe...
Interestingly enough, I believe Deg has shared a story where his Shadowrun character has an interesting experience with the dragon.
No, that had nothing to do with Shadowrun. That was D&D.
That was D&D?
Yeah.
Would you care to share that real quick?
There have been a couple of instances where you end up and you're playing like a goofy ass rogue who just happens to be one of those really well-hated skill monkeys with, like, improvised weapon capabilities and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always fun when you utilize your rope with grappling hooks as your improvised weapon and end up catching a riot on a dragon.
Oh.
Oh, God, so I've got a story about a dragon, but I'll wait for you to finish.
Briefly.
Go ahead. Yeah, you finish your story, and I'll tell you mine.
No, that's pretty much where it's going to end.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my story, in the same world as the friend, the one I was talking about with the drow. Yeah, well, one of the things I can say is the souls of the gods are ending up in the possessing the bodies of dragons. The party was up against the god of insanity inside of a copper dragon. Deg, if you know anything about these guys, you know they are one of the more dangerous apes.
Yeah.
Extremely quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, guess how I got the upper hand on the thing.
How did you get the upper hand?
I hid in an outcropping of rocks. I'm playing a ranger. My guy's really good at stealth. He hides in an outcropping of rocks. The dragon's talking to the rest of the party. My character, I double critted the skill check. Both skill checks, I got crits.
How dare you?
I did the stealth check to keep hidden. It continued to keep hitting, and I critted the acrobatics check to run up its back, pull two daggers out, shove it in its eyes and blind it, and then use its head as a springboard. Mid air, my character draws his bow.
Like 7 or 8 times in a row.
So in other words, you got really lucky.
Well, it was only 2 checks, but yeah, I got. Okay, what is a 5% of 5%?
Low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how it happened. And my character essentially used this thing's head as a springboard, and we blinded it, and we took this thing down. The word begins with B, and it rhymes with bitch.
Whoa. Did you just say it rhymes with bitch?
Fitch. F. Fitch.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa,
we took it down like that.
I'm okay with horrific, deplorable, naughty language.
Yeah, I guess so. You know what?
You guys told me to tone it down.
Yeah, for like the first period. It's almost midnight. If your kids are not in bed right now, shame on you.
Yeah, I guess so. But what if they listen to the replay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is the replay.
I keep
consider.
Forgetting about that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, my computer's being attacked. I think it's the FCC. Deg, they're coming for you.
No, thankfully we don't have to worry about the FCC on the internet. Man.
So allow me to remind people that this is sort of internet radio.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and again, some words are going to slip, and we're not going to get fined. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what I need to say to the FCC at this very moment is, fuck you.
You know, I'll join in on that. Hey, FCC, fuck you.
I third that opinion.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting that people, download the show and listen to it later.
Yeah, I know. It's the strangest phenomenon right now.
Because no one ever tells me that they're doing it, so it couldn't be any of my friends.
I don't know if it's any of my friends either, come to think of it. Friends, we're kind of guilt-tripping you right now, folks.
Right? All of you random people that never heard of us before we started the show, you love you.
Yeah, you're our new friends. Our
right.
old friends, they don't want to listen to our old show.
Call in. Talk to us.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
If you're a sibling of someone who happens to be on the show and you're enjoying or listening to support or whatever, give us a call. You can certainly call in to 914-338-1303 and just hang out and shoot the moon with us, I suppose. We have actually
slowly started to reach our limit, would you say?
Yeah, actually. I think we're about ready to call it.
Yeah, I guess.
To be fair,
before we call it, there is one more type of kind of lone wolf that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, really?
And a lot of people would not think this is a lone wolf, but they can be. The game master, he can be a lone wolf. There's this term that a lot of tabletop guys will know. It's called railroading. It's where the GM forces the party through bullshit means, sorry to the kids, through BS means to an objective. There are kind of three major styles of GMing that I'm kind of distilling it down to their purest forms. There's the rail on rails or railroading method. Worst type of GM to have. These guys usually have either little or no, they have trouble telling the story. They're trying to keep things controlled. You will see a little bit more railroading in like the first or second session as everyone's kind of, you know, trying to figure out what everyone else is doing. So, mm-hmm. you know, give a little bit of leeway for the first two sessions, but if you've played the campaign where the GM is railroady, you know that he's railroady in the first session, even if he's being good, unquote. Next type, you know, I kind of do this weird thing where I come up with terms for things. I call it the bumpers method. You guys know when kids go bowling, they'll put the bumpers up so they don't get gutter balls?
Yeah.
So basically easy mode,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's GM discretion basically saying that I don't want to kill that character.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just that. It's just keeping the party going in the general direction, but in a limited area. They're given some freedom. And this is you know, your average GM. They're decent, you know, they're decent guys. I've been this GM before, you know, other people I know have been this GM, and this is usually actually good for a GM to have this for the first couple of sessions, kind of keep guys focused, let them know that this is my game, but I'm going to give you guys some freedom. You know, it's kind
sure,
of an olive
right.
branch. The final type, I call the beacon method, and these GMs are a little rare. These guys find a way, kind of get the parties a moth, they're a flame. Their story goals are a flame or a light. They find ways to insidiously get the party following their route without
them
knowing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're the best GMs because they will give you freedom, and they also give you the illusion of freedom sometimes, which
can
make some great story
twists. It is entirely the illusion of freedom. You are being railroaded. You just want to be railroaded.
Yeah, but there still is freedom, quote-unquote. You can do things. You can do other side adventures, but you will still get to the goal at the end of the day.
Right.
And there are, of course, other GMs that are just purely,
yeah, to be honest,
you know...
To be honest, real quick, that just kind of bums me a little bit. And I just don't know how exactly to feel about that, especially since some other news outright is just completely bumming me. Like, I don't know. I guess it's an appropriate time to go ahead and just move on a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Who here is familiar with the fact that Harold Ramis died?
I am. Egon was my favorite.
Yeah, and
oh,
you know
God.
What? Yeah.
There goes Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Did he do one of the voices in the recent Ghostbusters video game?
Yes, he did.
Cast?
He did. He
yeah.
did the recent him along with Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd,
yeah.
even
like they got the original cast,
Ernie Hudson
uh-huh.
as well. Like, everyone they pretty much got, except for Rick Moranis, for some strange and bizarre reason.
Rick Moranis quit Hollywood because he's raising his kids.
Oh, really? Is that the whole situation?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, his wife died of cancer or something, and he decided to leave the business to go and raise his kids.
Oh, wow.
You know
and
what?
I
applaud that.
Moranis.
Guy.
I have absolute respect for Rick Moranis.
I kind of have to have a newfound respect for that, then, because I was under the impression that Rick Moranis... From what I understand... Sewell, I'm sorry to interrupt you real quick. From my understanding so far, on Rick Moranis' point of view, like, and this is based on like what other publishers have decided to point out, is that Rick Moranis decided to not really do anything because he has so much money from being the McKenzie brothers, or being a part of that, I should say.
Well, sure, but that's not it. He went to go and make sure that his kids had a good life and a father figure.
And, you know, I respect Rick Moranis a little more based on that information.
And I'm not even mad. Like,
yeah.
I was wondering a while ago, where the hell did this guy go? He was funny, a good actor, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Turns out he quit his job so he could raise his kids.
You know what, Rick Moranis?
I have no problem with that.
You're part of the good game, guys.
You're a good guy, Rick Moranis.
Like, I will raise my strange brew to that.
I will raise my strange brew to that, too.
And, good game, guys. Seal of approval. Stamp. Mm.
Yes, definitely. The good game, guys. Seal of approval right there. Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Now, please come back one day.
Yeah, I mean.
Right.
He probably will come back because...
Just get your ass back to work.
Well, I mean, didn't he enjoy acting when he was in it, in the scene?
I would imagine so.
I couldn't imagine not. Like, he always had the goofy grin. I mean, like, just look at Spaceballs and tell me how you could not love playing that character.
Dude, right now, like, our movie anthem right now, Strange Brew, the McKenzie Brothers... The Deg right here has the biggest smile on his face right now ever since I just brought that up.
I know what you're talking about. But for real, like Rick Moranis, if he didn't love his job, probably wouldn't have been much good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true.
He loves his kids more.
And as they grow up, he may reappear.
Maybe.
Maybe he'll decide.
Yeah. I'm definitely
Or maybe he'll decide, you know?
That does reappear.
Yeah. But, yeah, Harold Ramis.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Egon died on us.
He's not going to reappear.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had to trap him.
Dude, I'm more curious if Egon is still busting ghosts in his, you know, ghostly appearance now.
Did he start, like, floating around and sliming libraries and shit? Like...
Oh, God, my mind's going straight. To what was it, the Ghostbusters animated series that were floating around for a while.
Which one exactly? Was it the original, the real Ghostbusters, or was it that new one where Egon apparently was leading a new team?
Well, both, because they're both in the same universe.
Oh, I
they
guess
actually
so.
Are involved. Yeah, they are involved with one another. So it's like, you kind of the funny cathartic, you know, he like they wake up one day, come in and go, wait, aren't you dead? Yes, but ghosts still need to be busted.
He's still busting ghosts even in the afterlife.
Yeah, or he's keeping control in the, you know, they have that big trapping unit that holds all the ghosts, stores them for good. Yeah, maybe he's in there dealing with them.
I'm
keeping
a little
under control.
Myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten the name of the firehouse, but you remember the Ghostbusters headquarters from the movies?
Oh, totally.
The firehouse, when they heard of Harold Ramis' death, they actually flew the Ghostbusters 2 sign, so they got the ghost hanging out front of the firehouse.
Dude, that's awesome.
Like, that's amazing.
Wasn't there also news where they apparently had some little Twinkie memorial going on as well because of the quote?
Twinkie memorial?
Tell them about the Twinkie.
What?
You don't remember the scene?
I don't remember the Twinkie.
You don't remember the Twinkie? You mean to sit through Ghostbusters 1, then? And I'll point
yeah, I need to watch Ghostbusters again. It is fallen out of memory.
It's on Netflix, guys.
Oh, I guess we have a plan for tonight.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like something we're going to do tonight.
Like in another 5 minutes or so when the show ends.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
With that said, I think we'll go ahead and start ending up the show because I like Ghostbusters, damn it.
Oh, so we have to leave just so you can watch Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Doc Captain, if you need backup keeping Deg in control, I'll have a Blackhawk on my front lawn in about an hour.
Blackhawk front lawn 1 hour. What?
it's my special brand of insanity.
It's my freaking like NSA antenna just sprang up. What are you talking about?
Is he trying to pass some kind of weird secret code going on?
I don't know.
Oh, no, just trying to make a joke that if he's not cooperating, I'll be down there in a couple hours to make sure he does cooperate.
Joke.
Does he live nearby?
Say. Yeah, he lives in Santa Barbara. Or what? Santa Barbara?
Yeah, roughly that area.
Somewhere down there. Somewhere in the L.A. area.
SoCal Central Coast, north of L.A.
Works for me.
Okay.
Make your way down to where we live, where we will not say on the air.
Mall. Even though we told everyone where that poor asshole lives.
Somewhere in the huge vicinity of the area.
Of SoCal Central Coast, somewhere near or about Santa Barbara.
Hey, good luck finding him, folks.
You won't find me. I'll disappear.
There you go.
Roll some dice.
Hold on. Oh, crap. My box of dice is in the garage.
Go watch Ghostbusters. So, with that said, this is a good game, guys. Signing off.
Bye.
Bye.